and we'll continue along these lines, but we'll highlight certain areas as the Spirit leads us. Thank you, Father. Now, the cardinal and the most important thing, really, in the walk with our walk with God is instruction and obeying the instructions God gives us. Because after all is said and done, what everything, we talk about meditation, praying, and everything we're talking about, the end result is to get an instruction from God, and it's the obedience to that instruction, or those sets of instructions, that cause a manifestation of the power of God in our lives. You know, because it says, when you come to Mount Zion, what you come to do primarily is to hear the voice of God. And it says, today if you hear his voice, not harden your heart. So it's the voice of God that actually causes a manifestation of the power of God when obeyed. You know, when it says in the book of Proverbs, it says, my son, attend to my words, take it through the process of meditation and all that. But the end result really is to hear the voice of God and actually obey. It's just as simple as that, to hear the voice of God and actually obey that voice. When Jesus was on the earth, he was instructions. That's what he was giving to people. People, they had access to him, so they would come to him and say, Master, I have this problem. Would you be able to help me? And he would give them certain instructions. He would say certain things. And as they carry out the instructions, manifestations take place. Things begin to happen in their lives. So Jesus says, now I am going away, and for you to have my presence and my power evident in your life, you have to have access to those sets of instructions. So he says, I want you to continue to have access to those instructions. And it is even better because you don't have to come and look for me in a particular geographical location. Because what I want to do is that when I shed my blood and go back up to God and deposit my blood on that mercy seat, then God now, his plan is to release the Spirit, his Spirit, into everyone that believes. So now he has sent the Holy Spirit, and now we have access as believers, as children, to instructions daily by communion with the Spirit of God. That's what it's all about. Because it's the essence of it is that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the person of the Spirit, is the most vital person in our walk here. So he's here to give us access to those sets of instructions as we fellowship with the Father. To give us access to those sets of instructions as we fellowship with the Father. And that's what differentiates the church from the world. Apart from the fact that we are new creatures in Christ, they don't have the Spirit. It says the world cannot receive the Spirit because the Spirit belongs to the children of God. So let's understand that. And when we begin to function closely with God and the Holy Ghost, we begin to see certain things as he shows us. We begin to see that really you begin to understand what the most important things are, what the priorities are in your walk on the earth. Now, we're talking about dominion, and let's go to the book of Genesis. Let's see some things there. Genesis. Chapter 2. It says here, Genesis, chapter 2. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to chapter 1, verse 26. 1 to 26. It says, and God said, let us make man in our own image, and let them have after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So I'm going to see certain things today about our Father. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And when Jesus came and he died and rose again, he added something that he says, I give you power and authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over every power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I'm going somewhere. You see, and we are now born into this kingdom, and that dominion there, it talks about using the resources God has given you in the service of God and man. That dominion there is not to dominate other human beings. That dominion there is not to lord it over the spirits of other human beings. The dominion is over principalities and powers and over situations and things in your environment. Let's understand that. The first thing when control came was when man fell. He says, your desire shall be to your husband and he shall rule over you. That thing was a product of the fall. That domineering spirit was a product of the fall. That desire to want to dominate another human being, that desire that a husband wants to lord it and dominate the wife, was a product of the fall of man. In the kingdom of God, the cardinal principle and the cardinal spirit is one called love. It's a kingdom of service. That dominion, it means service. It means. Let's go to scripture. Let's see what Jesus says here. It's very important. He says here, let's go to the book of Luke. So let's understand that it's not to dominate other, it's to dominate situations, circumstances, it's to dominate the enemy and his cohorts, and to dominate things, but not other human beings. Even God himself did not come and dominate Adam. When Adam was making a mistake, he stood back and let him. So let's understand that. Let's understand that. It's only witchcraft and the enemy that tries to dominate other people's spirit with willpower. Let's understand that. The spirit of God is not like that. Let's understand that. Let's begin to understand that, because there's some cultural things that are passed on as normal. Let's begin to deceive and live our lives strictly by what God says in his word. The kingdom of God, Jesus was teaching them. Let's go to the book of Genesis, Luke chapter 22 verse 25. Let's see what our kingdom is about. We're talking about the kingdom of God and the authority of the believer. We have to see this, and we have to reprogram and reshape in our mind as God's children as to what obtains in this kingdom that we've been called to, and not live our lives alike according to the dictates of the world. And he said unto them, kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And he says, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. Let's go to the next verse. But in our kingdom, he said, but ye shall not be so. He says, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief among you, as he that doth serve. So he says, in the kingdom, this is how we operate. We operate in this way. The greatest is the one that serves all. He said, he that will be great among you must be the servant of all. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 6. Before we go there, let's go to Acts chapter 6. Let's go there, yes. Acts chapter 6. So it's about service. It's about service. Acts 6:2. About service. So in the world system, you know, when it's a thing of domination, it's a thing of when you have a leader, it's that domination, that oppression. That's how the mind of the world operates. But in the kingdom of God, it is not so. The kingdom of God, it says, he that is greatest. Jesus showed us that example. He was in the form of God and thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And it says, because he did that, God highly exalted him to a position of dominion and authority. So that is the way it operates in the kingdom of God. That is to say, he that exalts himself shall be abased. God will abase place anyone that exalts himself, but he that humbles himself shall be exalted. That's why he says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that in due season he may exalt you. So let us begin to reprogram our mind according to how what is written, the husband should serve the wife, the husband should lay down his life for the wife, the friend should lay down his life for his friend, the brother should lay down his life for, that is how the kingdom of God operates. It's not the kingdom of the domineering or lordship over one another. It's a kingdom where we serve one another. Let's understand that. So it's a thing of service, and we just see briefly before we go into the middle of the message the different ways of service in this kingdom. Different ways of service. We go to Acts chapter 6, verse 2. Acts chapter 6, verse 2. Different ways of service. We'll just highlight a few of them, and I will say something. And I want you to know that in this service, you're not serving as a believer, as a born again child of God. You're not serving the person as it were, because your life is hid with Christ in God. Everything you do, you are doing it unto the Lord. Anything you do for anybody in the body of Christ, doing it unto, it says that for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see this. We'll start from the mundane and see. It says, then the twelve called the multitudes of the disciples unto them and said, it is no reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So these were people, there was some argument there, and there was some strife going on. So the disciples said, look, let us appoint people while we do the spiritual bid. You now, which is very important as well, serve in this capacity. That serve tables, distribute things, and serve. In fact, the Amplified says that you're serving at tables and superintending the distribution of food. It's a legitimate ministry. It doesn't make the preacher's ministry is not superior to the serving of tables. In the sight of God, when he gives a man something to do, what happens is that he rewards you based on the assignment. He rewards you based, he might need to sweep the church. You know, he rewards you based on your diligence in that assignment. I might be the preacher, I might sound eloquent, but I'm not giving it as due diligence as the man sweeping the floor. In the eyes of God, he rewards that man according to the assignment he has given. Let's understand that. So he says, these guys, your job is to set tables. It doesn't mean they were inferior to the guys that were preaching, but it was what was apportioned to them at that time. So let's understand that their job was to set tables. Then let us go to the book of Acts chapter Ephesians 4 verse 8. We'll see a few things. Just laying the foundation. So we have the fact that I come here to preach, some things happen before I even come here to preach, which I can never preach here if those things do not happen. So God is watching and is looking. It's not, God looks at the heart, looks deep down into the heart. So let's make sure we are in correct alignment. So wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he left captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. Let's go on. He gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended? First into the lower parts of the earth, he that descended is also him that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Let's go on. He says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why did he do that? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So these are the gifts God gave. So those gifts, it's not as if the people are superior. I want you to understand this. They're just functions and assignments that he gave them, and he had endowed them with the tools and the gifts. We heard about gifts, talents, and endowments to actually perform those roles in the body of Christ. He gave them those things to perform those roles in the body of Christ. And you see, and their faithfulness will be dependent on, and their reward will be dependent on how faithful they were in performing this role. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. We'll see a few things, 27. I just want to lay a few foundations that will go on into what God wants us to hear. 1 Corinthians 12, 27. It says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. If you go to the previous verses of that scripture, it makes you know that every single member of the body is of equal importance. Every single member, it says the head, even Jesus, cannot say to the foot, I have no need of you. That means in Christ's eye, you are equally as important to him as he is. It says the head, that is Jesus, cannot say to the foot, I have no need of you. So every single member is of value. We're talking about functions now. It says now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Let's go to the next verse. It says, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, gifts of healing, health, governments, diversities of tongues. So these are various gifts. These are things he has put in the body for one reason, to serve. Let's understand it, to serve. That is the primary purpose. It is a thing of complete service. And we'll see how and where I'm heading to, or where the Spirit of God is heading to. And this is a thing of complete service, a kingdom which has to function and manifest the life of Christ on the earth. And he has given men endowment to actually equip the body so that it will function effectively and demonstrate the resurrection power of Christ, even to the world, as it were. So let's go on now to the book of Luke chapter 11. Let's see. Luke chapter 11. Oh no, sorry, Matthew 6. Just use Matthew 6. Matthew 6, let's go to that one. Matthew chapter 6. The Lord's Prayer. Okay, that's perfect. You see, when you pray, in fact, in the account of Luke, what happened was that Jesus was teaching, had just finished a session of prayer. So disciples, see, when he had ended that session of prayer, the disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. So Jesus said, this is the pattern through which by which I pray, and as a result of this pattern, I have manifested the life of God on the earth. So when you stand praying, don't be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have your reward. Go to the next verse. Say, but when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Next verse. It now says, and when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. Note this verse, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. It says, don't use vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. So what are these vain repetitions? What exactly is Jesus talking about? We'll go there. Just note that. Next verse, please. It says, next verse, please. It says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Jesus said, this is the pattern of prayer I engaged in while I was on the earth. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. It says, our Father. That means, it is a relationship. Prayer is not a way. I know prayer, you ask God for things and he gives you, but prayer is primarily based on a relationship, a father-child relationship. That's what it's based on. It says, our Father, which art in heaven. It says, hallowed be your name. That means, it says, our Father, which art in heaven, acknowledging God and worshiping him as God and the source of all things. You know, when I was looking into the scriptures, it says, why do we have to worship? Why do we, you don't have to open that place, but I'll read it to you. Let me show you something. Jesus, the scripture is so accurate that if you follow the scriptures, you will never go wrong. Let me show you what it says here. Yeah, Yes, go to the book of Isaiah 66. Note that it says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're worshipping you as our Father." But look at what it says in Isaiah chapter 66 verse 1. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne." It says, "Our Father which art in heaven, and the earth is my footstool." It says, "Even though I have heaven as my throne, and earth as my footstool, there is something I still require." It says, he's still asking, he says, "But you," he says, "where is the house that you built unto me?" So I'm asking God, I said, "But you have a throne already, you are seated there." So he's asking again in scripture, "So where is the house that you have built unto me? And where is the place of my rest, saith the Lord?" He said, "My hands have made all those things, but I still require something." He said, "A man who is of a contrite spirit that trembles at my word," he said, "I still require a house, a place to rest. A place, even though I've created all things, heaven is my throne, but there's one thing I still require, a place to rest." And we'll find that place in Psalm 22. It's very clearly written there. Where is that place? That's why it says, "Our Father which art in heaven," now the next is, "Hallowed be thy name. Lord, even though you dwell in heaven, I recognize you. Now I want to build a place for you in my heart. Hallowed be thy name in the place of worship." It says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from me?" In Psalm 22. Let's go to Psalm 22. Let's see what the place is. He says, "Why art thou forsaking me? Why art thou far from helping me? For my words of my roaring, O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and I'm not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabited the praises of Israel." He says that this is the place that I want to dwell. Heaven is my throne, but he says, "I have sought for a place." When Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, he says, "The Father has sought this place where the true worshippers will worship him in spirit and in truth." For the Father has sought that resting place from time immemorial, where he could come into a place of rest. As you worship God, as David said, he says, "I will build a resting place for God in worship." So that is the place. It says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So he says, when you acknowledge God as God your Father, then the next thing you do is go into the season of worship, acknowledging him and causing him to rest in the place where he belongs, which is your worship and your praise. Jesus was very definite. He says, it's a pattern of prayer. He says, you have to glorify him. Hallowed be thy name. Worship him and build a resting place for him, because God has sought to dwell inside man. He says, as God has said, "I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." He says, "Hallowed be thy name. I worship you, Father. I give you praise. Take your place inside my heart even today." Then he now goes to the next verse. Let's go back to the prayer. We're going to explain the Lord's Prayer. Very important. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. So that's the pattern. It just says, Matthew chapter 6, "Your name is honored as holy." Then go to the next verse. Go to King James, yes. He now says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." In fact, I believe strongly that this is where the problem has been in the walk as Christians. Honestly, I've just been discovering it more and more in greater dimension. It says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." I was listening to, what's his name? Not Jezebel. This is the plan. He said, "I don't have a will. I don't have a will, that I just stay there, and whatever the will of God is, I'm submitted to that will." That this is where the problem has been. The will of man is so strong. He wants to enforce that will. But the prayer, it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And we'll see this. You know, when Jesus was talking about divine reputations, Let's go to the end. Let's go on. Then we'll come back. Keep going to the next verse. We'll come back to them. He said, "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us, then go to the place where it says, when you prayed, don't ask for what you eat or what you drink. I want us to see that clearly. Because the body of Christ is shifting to another dimension, honestly. Because it is shifting to another dimension in these times. It is shifting to another dimension where it's not about what... Say, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we put on? But ye shall... What shall we put on? Is life no more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Go to the other verse. Say, behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet, he didn't say their heavenly father. He said, your father feeds them. They don't have a father-son relationship. He's their God, but he's your father. Understand this. He's trying to show you how deep this thing is. So your father understands, he's even feeding those he doesn't have a father-son relationship with. Go on. It says, are you not much better than they? It says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Go to the next verse. It says, and why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They do not toil nor spin, nor gather into barns. Now I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Next verse, please. So wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not want to clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or where we shall be clothed? It is food, it is meeting my needs, it is things on the outside. See, after all these things, do the Gentiles seek? These are the vain reputations Jesus was talking about. Understand this. Say, after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father already knows that you have need of all these things. Go to the next verse. He said, what's the prayer? He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. He said, the next thing after hallowing his name, he says, and all these things shall be added unto you. The prayer of the Christian should not be primarily, I'm serious, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, what we shall be clothed. He says, seek first the kingdom. Seek first the rule, the will, the mind of the Father. What is your agenda? It's a place of surrender. That is where the crux is. Let me tell you the truth of the matter, to be honest. When you ask for these things, God can give you. God can give you. He will give, in fact, he will give it to you. But there's a higher level of living. There's a higher level of existence. The enemy has kept us on the level of the mundane, seeking the things the Gentiles are seeking, and we have been denied of entering into the kingdom. This is where it is. He has put our minds, the cares of it, the decisions of riches, the loss of other things, they've clouded us and clouded us, so we're not seeking the kingdom. I know you might think that, oh, my needs are here, how am I going to solve them? I need to pray about them. No. Because there's a way in God as his child. Focus, take your focus. He says all these things that will eventually come unto you. That's why he told that rich young ruler. He said, look, you don't understand what I'm saying. You see, sell all that you have given to the poor. Provide alms. The guy, he was heavy. He turned back. He said he had great possessions. Jesus says, look, he doesn't understand this. That there's nothing you give up that you won't get back. And also you will get something much more. Eternal life. You will get something, there's a higher purpose. There's not letting the enemy keep us on the level of the mundane. The gospel of Jesus Christ is more than material needs. It will meet every material need. It will meet every financial need. But it's much higher than that. So in these times, God is shifting the focus back. Let's see something there. So those are the things. Call a Christian and ask him what the fabric prayer points are. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Where shall we be clothed? It's much more than that. There's a higher calling. There's a purpose. There's a gift. There's a talent. There's a spiritual endowment that's been placed inside you to fulfill certain things. These things will come as additions. We see from the scripture. We see something very clearly from the scripture as additions. And God is faithful that promise. Listen, he knows you need that car. He knows you need. He knows your children need to go to school. He knows about it. But he says, just give me. Try this. Just give me 1 minute. Take your focus off that. Don't let the enemy cloud you with that. Take your focus off that. And seek first that kingdom. What does it mean? and all his righteousness. What does it simply, what does it mean? I'll give you an example from the scriptures. I'll give you an example from the scriptures. I'll give you an example. Go to the book of Luke chapter 5. I think how God operates on the earth. You know, our life as Christians is so deep. The depth is so much that there's so much in store. There's so much more about you sitting here that you can fathom. There's so much more in about you. That's why he came to shed his blood for you as a person. Luke chapter 5. I'll give you an example to paint the picture clearly. You see, over the scriptures, over the times, if you look at it, over the years, what does that kingdom mean? That kingdom, it says that kingdom is inside you. In one of the Gospels, it says that kingdom, from the time of John the Baptist, I'm just talking about the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That kingdom, Jesus said that if I, by the finger of God, cast out demons, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. He now said in that place that if, he said, in the Revelation, he said that the kingdom, now is salvation come, the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ, because the accuser of the brethren has been cast out. So Satan is fighting tooth and nail from preventing people from entering that kingdom. He's not going to fight you about what you shall eat, what you shall drink. He's not. It's the kingdom. The kingdom. So we understand this, and let's begin to focus our mind on that. So Luke chapter 5, let me just show you a simple story that will paint what I'm trying to do, to crystallize it in your mind by God's grace. He said, and it came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. So right now, as we sit here, God in heaven has an agenda. He has something on his mind. He has a will. He has an agenda for this church as a body. He has an agenda for every single person seated here right now at this time, based on the gift, the talent, and the spiritual endowment he has placed upon you, inside you. He has an agenda. So he's saying, this person sitting here also has needs in his life. You cannot deny the fact that he has legitimate physical needs as he's walking on the earth. He has needs. But God said, I have an agenda. Now look at this story. He said the people pressed upon him to hear the word. They pressed upon Jesus to hear the word. And God's agenda in this place was to teach the people. Jesus had the need to teach the people. That was what was in his mind. That was what he wanted at that point. The same thing, like it's just like Abraham. God wanted to... He wanted to make him a father of many nations. That was his agenda. He saw ahead. He saw that through Abraham, that Jesus Christ, the seed, will come. That was his agenda. But Abraham was thinking, I need a son. I need a son to propagate me, to propagate my generation. I need a son. But God said, I'm seeing to the future. I'm seeing things that you cannot see, Abraham. That's my agenda. So when Abraham turned, he thought he was just, See, Abraham gave birth to a son. It was much more than his son. I want you to see. He had a son. He said, give me a son. He had a son. But it was much. God had an agenda ahead. So Abraham had his needs met, but that agenda would not be fulfilled in Ishmael. Understand this. So until he turned and said, Lord, I put my agenda aside. I submit my will. What is your agenda? What is on your mind in this moment? That's what it means to say, thy will be done. The human will struggle. That's why Jesus went to the cross. He was there. He said he was there. He says, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. It was a struggle. He said, and the angels came and strengthened him. He broke through that thing and he submitted this thing. This is where the foundation of faith is. When man's will is broken and God now comes in with his agenda. Is turning from those things and trusting that God knows that you have need of those things. But Lord, what is on your mind in this hour? For me as a person regarding this thing. That should be the prayer. It says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And look, let's go back to the story in chapter 5. It says, they pressed upon Jesus to hear the word. And Jesus stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships. So all that was on Jesus' mind, all that was on the mind of God was, I need to teach these people. I need to teach them the word. That is my need at this time. Who is on the earth? I'm looking to see who on the earth has the heart to key into that purpose. Who is not overtaken by what they will eat, what they will drink, by the immediate challenge. Who will take time? It doesn't take long for him to reveal his agenda. Who will take time to see? What are you saying? This thing is real. Honestly, read. What are you saying now regarding me? What are you saying now regarding covenant? It's not about packing people into the church. It's not. It's about, see, church growth can be in itself, what shall we eat, what shall we drink? It can be. It is about what is on your mind. Now, as we fulfill that mind, the addition will be increased. I want you to understand, as you fill that mind, the addition will be financial prosperity, whatever you're looking for. But he's saying now, I want you to focus, leave your agenda, turn your heart to look at me and say, Lord, I put my agenda aside, help me. What are you saying? I really, like David says, I will go to my own bedchamber until I fulfill, I find a resting place for the agenda of God in my generation. He said David slept with his fathers after he had served his generation in the will of God. So that's what it's about. So he said, I turn, thy will be done, thy kingdom. Lord, these desires and needs are pulling me. These necessities are pulling me apart, but I turn to you, I trust you that your kingdom come. Open, let me see what is your agenda right now. What are you saying? With my whole heart, I open my heart to you, and once you do that, God begins to speak. Honestly, God speaks, he doesn't waste time. He begins to reveal his agenda to you. That's what happens. Look at here, Jesus, he stood by the lake, he said, I'm looking in the earth. Who is that man that is contrite? Who is that man that he can fulfill this need? I need to preach to these people. I need to preach to them. I'm looking. He now saw two ships. He said, oh, they were empty. He said, wow. He said, that is a potential. That's how God picks people on the earth. People that are willing. People that are ready. They might not look qualified. They are fishermen. They might not have all the scriptures. But he says, that looks like a place. Abraham wasn't the most holy person on the earth. Noah wasn't the most holy person, but he saw in them a place. He said, oh, I can see. Those boats are empty. I can use them. I can borrow them. Listen, I can borrow them to fulfill this purpose. I can lend those boats. I can borrow that man's life. His life looks as though it looks shattered and scattered, but I need a place. I need, I can't do it without their help. I need someone's life, someone who is ready to cooperate in fulfilling this need. So he saw the two ships and said, okay. And the fishermen were gone out. They were washing their nets. They had toiled. This was their livelihood. They had done everything. In fact, the money was not enough for what they wanted to do. And do you know what God said? He said, borrow me. He didn't even say, give me. He entered the ship. He said, Peter, launch out a bit. The instructions began to come. As he opened up himself, he started telling him what to do. He said, launch out a bit. Peter wasn't thinking about increase. I want you to understand this. He wasn't even thinking, he had the need, but wasn't thinking about how we catch fish. He wasn't calculating that when I give Jesus the boat, and Jesus will come. And he told him, he said, okay, so use it. Take, I borrow it. He went there, and Jesus was teaching them out of the ship. God said, thank you. Thank you. You've given me the room to fulfill my agenda. Abraham, thank you. You've laid down Isaac. You've given me the room to fulfill my agenda. Because you have done this. In blessing, you'll be blessed. In multiplying, I will multiply. Because you have done this. Peter. Now the instruction came. Say, now, you give me your boat. All those things that you needed. I fulfilled my agenda. You've given me your boat. Helped me, God, to fulfill my will on the earth. All those things you needed, what are they? You told all night, he gave me the instruction. And as he threw the net in, he includes the great multitude of fish. He didn't end there. He says, because you have done this, he said, now you are going to enter into your real purpose, which is to catch men. Understand this. This is how you enter into destiny. It was from the mundane, but he entered into a place. If Peter has been so bogged down, he says, okay, my boat, please, I have to pack up. Tomorrow morning, I'm coming to fish again. I'm coming tomorrow night. No, you're going to disturb the flow. I need to rest so that I can get enough energy to come back to do my net again and to catch. Peter says, he gave him the boat. He surrendered. He said, Lord, take it. Use it. He says, that is my agenda. So we should be asking, Lord, what is your agenda? When God began to show me this, I'm going to see in Noah, the agenda of God was to build an ark in those times. People were being married, people were given in marriage. It is not in just scattering things around. It is asking specifically, Peter could have done many things, but Jesus said, this is what I want to do at this season. It's not just in scattering things around. It is the agenda of God. So he took it, and he preached from it. In other words, Peter, you give me something. He says, launch out in the net and your net will drop. And Peter threw the net in, and the thing was so much. And if you look at what Jesus said in 10, it wasn't just about catching the fish. He said, from now on, you shall catch men. He said, there's an agenda here. There's a destiny here that you are entering into because of this state. So Peter's understood the pattern of God. The same way you caught those fish, the same way you catch men. So you understand this? So it's about thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You have to trust that God knows you have need of those things. And truly with a heart, say, Father, what is your agenda? What are you saying regarding this thing? What are you saying? What are you saying regarding this situation? You know, what are you saying? Whatever you say, I'm ready to do. Remember Dr. Kayode Johnson when he came to give his testimony? He had a faith project for his exams. He had confessed it day and night. They confessed. The first time he failed, second time he failed, third time he failed. He said, Lord, if you want to go back to UK, that is the point where the faith of God really starts. If you want to go back to UK, I surrender. I'm ready to go back. Whatever you say, I will do. I'm ready. His heart was open. He said the Holy Ghost began to instruct him. He began to show him things. He said he began to see his life in different dimensions. He began to see his purpose. He began to say that, oh my God, it's much more than this. And the exam was looking to pass. He didn't even pray again, and he passed it effortlessly. But he said, that is not even the issue now. He said, my mind has changed into another level. I'm beginning to see things. He said, I need to have a meeting. I need to have a meeting with some people. Because God has begun to teach me some things. He said, much more. Let's take our minds into the level of who we really belong. We are children of the kingdom. And God is going to begin to use us in these end times to affect nations. It is not just a thing of, it's not a cliche. It's the truth. When we begin to turn ourselves, say, Lord, it's your kingdom come. It's more than my job. I told God, say, why am I in this office? Show it to me. If you say, today, leave this office, I will leave. Then we're going to say that it's much more than this. What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we put on? The cars we wear, drive, the clothes we wear, it is much, those are insignificant. It's about the kingdom of God. And when he shows you, say, he enclosed the great multitude of fish. Look at the life of Moses, the same thing. God said, my children are crying. I have a need to deliver Israel. I'm looking on the earth. This young man has grown up in the palace. He can be used for that. He's grown up in the palace. He's the best person. He's the candidate. He's my man on the scene. And he put it in Moses' heart. But Moses tried to use the arm of flesh to fulfill it. And he prolonged the time. But that was the mind of God. He went to the back of the desert. As I was praying over this meeting, God told me, some people have entered into situations by stepping ahead. They feel trapped. He says, don't try and get out of the situation by your power. He said, don't try and struggle your way out of the situations. You have to wait to hear from me how to get out. He said, because when the people slept and some angels came, some spirit, the enemy came and sowed tares in the midst of them, they wanted to take a knee-jerk response to uproot the tares, but he said, no, wait. Wait, let them go together. He's going to say, wait. Hear what he has to say. Don't try and use the arm of flesh to come out of it. Don't try and use that to manipulate your way. Even though you've made a mistake, you know you're in trouble. Don't try and wriggle your way out of it. Ask him, what should I do? He says, wait. The wisdom of God says, wait. When they grow up, the angels will come and reap. Because if you take it out like that, you will destroy everything. I don't know who that was for, but he came to me as I was praying for the meeting. He would destroy everything. So just understand that. And this kingdom, when God shows it to you, see, the enemy will not fight you on what you will eat, or what you will drink. The enemy doesn't want the kingdom, because once the kingdom comes with power. The increase of that kingdom, there's no end. Something is birthed on the earth that you cannot stop. The kingdom of God is forceful. The gates of earth cannot prevail against that kingdom. Daniel understood by books. He understood God's agenda. And he set himself to seek the Lord. And God began, God released that thing to Daniel immediately. But he said, 21 days. He said the enemy was after, didn't want that thing to manifest, because if that thing touches the earth, it's over. So the enemy tried to intercept that thing. And what is this enemy? What is this enemy? He says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I want to show you why you need to pray. You're not praying to say, God, you're not fighting God. No. God releases that thing to you. Once he shows you, it means it's his Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's released it to you. But there are strongholds in the mind, in the thoughts, in your experiences. Inside there, militating, the enemy is working full time to prevent that thing from manifesting. By sitting so in your thoughts, in your mind, in your upbringing, from the, he's trying to prevent it. That's when you go into the place of prayer and the Holy Ghost, let's understand, it takes hold together. We are not praying, you know, you are taking, he's taking all together with you to enforce and to bring out the instructions required and the things on earth to cause that kingdom to manifest on the earth. He says, that's why Daniel, when he went into prayer, he says, Daniel, he saw that this is the mind of God in this hour. He now set his face to seek the Lord with fastings and prayer. He says, the angel came and said, look, Daniel, God released this on the first day. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But he said, the prince of Persia withstood me. And he says, the weapons of wisdom are not carnal, casting down imaginations and every height. And there are some things inside you, in your mind, in your soulish realm, that do not, that he said, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the will of God. In prayer, the Holy Ghost takes hold and begins to go to your even the things you don't know about, things that happen in your childhood, patterns of reasoning, things around your environment that makes you think that that kingdom, that thing God has shown you, can never happen to you. It begins to take hold. That thing that is delaying the manifestation, the Holy Ghost begins to go into those places and pulls down those things as you stay in prayer. Until they manifest. God spoke to Elijah, said there shall be an abundance of rain. But Elijah has to set himself in prayer till that thing manifested. The prayer is not asking God. The prayer is you combining forces with God to cause the manifestation of that thing. Life. Your life is more than this. Honestly, let's begin to set ourselves back in alignment. Honestly. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of things he possesses. It's about who has registered in the kingdom, who has fulfilled the agenda of God on the earth regarding his life. So it's things that matter. So it's going to rearrange ourselves and reorganize ourselves. When I began to see, God began to show me that you sort of become fearless in a way, because you know that it's much more than this. It's about what he's saying in this hour. And once he shows it to me, I ask him, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. And I go in prayer. See, once that comes to the earth, see, listen, everything you are requiring, everything you are looking for, all those things, they will be met. Inside the kingdom of God and the government of God, all your needs are supplied. Don't separate yourself from it and try to fulfill the needs yourself. Fix the kingdom and let these things be added to you. That's God's agenda and that's God's way of doing it. The enemy lured us into the world's way of doing it. Thinking that by the works of our hands, which is important, we'll do the work of our hands, but we know our source is God. So let's go back to those places where the Holy Spirit begins to whisper to you and tell you what to do per second. Begins to show you as you stay in that place with that word. See, all the things of confession that we're talking about, the essence of it really is that, Lord, the agenda of your agenda. Let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's about the agenda of God, it's about the will of God, and these things are additions. It can't be this thing now, okay, it is this thing, there are people that are not Christians that have these things. So it can't be these things. There's an agenda, an assignment on your life based on the gifts, the talents, and on that day when you stand before him. He said, come, so I put this substance into you. Where's the result? What you're supposed to take over nations and souls of men. Because to hear the real thing is salvation of the souls of men. Only 2% of this country's population goes to church. Only 2% of the entire nation, 2% goes to church. No, I'm just a general church. They're not talking of Pentecostal, they're talking of Catholic, they're talking of Anglican. 2%. When I heard yesterday, I said, 2%. There's work to be done. Let us turn our hearts again.
What is your agenda, God? What is your agenda? It's a different for what is your agenda? God is looking for those kind of people there whose heart is perfect. He will stand by and say, I have an agenda, like in the Gennesaret. So there are two ships there. Are you going to be one of those? Empty, ready to be used of the Father. The age is coming to a close soon. Either if it comes to a close soon, or we finish our purpose and we leave. It's about the purpose. I want to know, it's about the purpose. Heaven will not ask you how many cars do you have. Heaven will not ask you how. It won't ask you that way. The agenda. How did you fulfill it? The agenda. I had to. Yesterday, I stood before God. I said, Lord, paradigm shift. I said, Lord, it's much more than this. It's much more than this. Show me the agenda. Help me to surrender my will. He brought into a marriage for a purpose. It's not about marriage, having children. It's fine, part of it, but it's an agenda. There's a will. There's a purpose. It wasn't about Ish. It wasn't about children. If it was children, Ishmael was a child. Ishmael was a child. Think about it. He was a child. There's a purpose. There's a purpose. So turn that thing to him. And he unveils that word. Then all those things you're looking for, they'll be additions. You even think about it. I understand how men, like General Basia, say, I won't pray for one thing. I won't pray for a car. I won't be abnormal. See, because they turn their heart to the agenda. In fasting, waiting, Lord, what is your mind? They will stay there until they hear it. What is your mind? It's worth the wait. It's worth the wait. Father, we give you thanks. Lord, we bless your name. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your spirit in this place. We worship you and we give you praise. Thank you for the power of your spirit in this place. Holy Spirit, we lean on you to turn our hearts back to you as our source, as our God. That your kingdom will come in the life of every single person and your will be done in our lives. We surrender our hearts and our wills to you, Lord. Use us in these times, O God, to fulfill your purpose, O Lord. Father, we give you thanks. We bless you. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost.